Good kindred spirit. Now, I'm not talking about a bad one. You can't have some bad kindred spirits. I'm talking about good. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with having a good kindred spirit. I tell you, God didn't make for the church to be full of chaos and confusion. The world's full of that. They need to get a break from that. When they come to the house of the Lord, they need to have some side. Confused. The Bible said God, he's not even the author of confusion. That's the devil's job. And he does a mighty fine job of it too. I don't want to give no credit. But you can give credit where credit is due. Amen. That put about 3% of this world at peace with the Lord. He said a few ain't but two or three. Amen. I want to be in God's view. What page you got, Miss Penn?
268.
268.
thing. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you ain't in a fight, you must not be doing something right. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to fight against sin, evil, iniquity, the ways of this world. Praise the Lord. It's a battlefield. Amen. I think that's one of the main examples that was to be shown, all those battles that David had to fight. I know it's spiritual now, we're physical then, but God gave him the spirit to do it with. If you look back from the time Samuel went to anoint David king, the Bible said the spirit of the Lord was upon him, and that spirit never did leave him. Praise the Lord. God don't leave you once you get your heart right with him. You might leave him, but he don't leave you. Amen. He wants what's rightfully his. Amen. He wants us to walk the golden streets with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's going to be wonderful after a while, Sister Jacob. We walk a lot of places in this world. And that's what your feet and legs is made for. But we're going to get up one of these days and walk on the streets of gold. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take up the tithing offering while I get this next song started. If you got something you want to give, give the Lord a blessing.
Thank you. credit.
Keep folks. Keep moving on. Amen. That song, they're seeing with the higher ground. Amen. Praise the good Lord. Amen. You can't look for help in low places. That's where the devil hangs out. There used to be an old country song, something about low places. But when you get your mind on Jesus, you look for higher ground. Amen. I don't remember that old country song anymore. I can tell you one thing, I ain't forgot about Jesus this morning. Amen. You'll forget about those things you left behind. Amen. A lot of those songs I can't remember no more.
But
I tell you what, you don't look back to Egypt. You're going forward. He said he that looked back ain't even been to Egypt. Amen. Paul said, forget them things. Left back yonder, looking forward to that higher ground. Amen. All right, let's see what we've got in the Sunday school class. Let's be praying one for another. That pollen boy, we stayed outside there yesterday about all day. That pollen boy, Brooke. Get your head for her. Nose and everything else. Y'all turn to James chapter 3. Our lesson is found in James chapter 3. And, turn on your Bibles. We might read a couple of extra scriptures in James. James is a well known name in the New Testament. There's four different Jameses, but this is James the half brother of Jesus. So that makes the name of James even more popular. Amen. Anytime you brothers with the Lord, half brother, whole brother, spiritual brother, you'll be known too. People will know you for serving the Lord. Amen. We want to look back at James chapter 1 and 1. It said, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be seen here myself this morning. Amen. Y'all be praying for me. I don't know where I might be at next Sunday morning. I hope to be here. But you don't never know from 1 week to the next. I've seen them pass between Sunday and Sunday. They never seen another Sunday. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you, it ain't that you're supposed to be scared of death. You look for the Lord is what you're doing, not running from death. Somebody said, I feel like I'm running from death. You don't need to be running from death. You need to be running to the Lord. Amen. You'll quit worrying so much about death when you get the Lord right in your heart. Let's go ahead on and start in with our scripture. Controlling the tongue is the name of our lesson. James chapter 3 is known as the tongue chapter. Anybody ever heard of the tongue chapter? That's James chapter 3. Let's start right there with that 1 and 2, Sister Annie.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
According to the theologians now, back in that day, they didn't have no shortcomings when it came to teachers. Everybody wanted to get up. Say something for the Lord, or say something about the Word, or say something about the Bible. There was a lot of folks back then getting saved and just hearing about the Lord and seeing the miracles of God and still live witnesses of what the Lord had done, which Jesus was known on at this time. But there was many of them that were still there that was eyewitnesses. And Paul was warning them. He said, hey, you better teach it right. You better live it right. You better know you're talking right. And it's still that so the same thing today, it's still so today. People better be cautious. The teachers, masters, at that time, that was just another word for the priest, the teacher, the prophet, or the preacher. And it's still that same meaning today, really, for the scriptures. Knowing that you have a different type of judgment, you're going to be judged according to what you were doing for the Lord as far as your teaching and your preaching, your missionary work, your evangelizing, whatever. You're going to come into a different category. You ain't going to be judged just because you live right or wrong. It's going to be because you judged on how you taught other people to live right or to live wrong. Plus, you'll be judged in this world too. It says that if any man offend not in word, they'll have you judged in this world too. People say, oh, he ain't living right. I know for a fact that he ain't no perfect man. Praise the Lord. They look for you to live perfect while they not living perfect. Offend not. It is hard to have tact about everything. It is hard to be simple about everything and cautious about every word. When you're teaching and talking about Jesus, some people are going to get offended just because you say the name of Jesus these days. That'll have to do. And it's a shame. They're so caught up in everything. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus. But you offer them anything out there in this world, they'll take it. Run with it, too. Is this the thing you want to do? Take that 3 and 4.
You hope to put bits in horses' mouths that they may have asked when you come back to their whole body. You know, and also this year, which they may be so great in our good enough years, because the other day comes about with a very small hand, but it's over the government.
Now, when you put bits in the horse's mouth, verse 2 says that able also to bridle the whole body. You used to bridle them horses, you know, so you could take hold to the reins and you could turn them once you get them trained, you see. And there's different kind of bits. Sister B and Dan, some of y'all might know something about horses, or Sister Lisa. Y'all might know something about horses. You got a certain bit that you can put in the horse's mouth that fits tight. And boy, you just pull it a little bit, that thing hurts. You're going to turn his head, you know. You use them to break the horse. But after you break the horse, you get that other type bridle that fits loose. And you just barely turn it. Once he broke, he'll go the way you want him to go. You see? What we need to do is make sure we keep that tight bridle. You know what I'm saying? Not that you want to hurt yourself, but that you want to be cautious, that able to bridle the whole body. You see, with that horse, when you turn that rein, his whole body goes that way. It ain't just his eyes look that way. He don't just look that way. He turns that way. And you go right with him. You turn him to the right, and you go right that way with him. You see, what we need to do is make sure we keep the reins tight. Because even when you got that horse broke like you're supposed to, if you loosen that rein a little bit too much, that tells him he's got freedom to pick up the pace. You got him broke to the bridle. When you drop that rein, especially give him a little kick, he'll take on off, you know. And the more you get up, and the more you kick him, the faster he'll run, you see. So what we need to do is make sure that we maintain a steady flow, a a steady rhythm with the Lord, that they may obey us, that our members in our body may obey us, include the tongue, include your hands. Your feet don't go the wrong way. Because most of the time, when your head, your mind gets to wandering the wrong way, next thing you know, you're turning the whole body, your feet turning and going the wrong way, and then next thing you know, your hands is reaching out for the wrong thing, and next thing you know, your whole world is in trouble doing the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself right there. The ships that be so great and driven of a fierce wind. See, once you drop those reins down, once you ease up on your relationship with the Lord, you see what I'm getting at? You can't ease up. You can't let up. You have to stay continually. You have to stay steadfastly in the Scriptures and faith and prayer. Every way the helm is turned, that's the way that ship goes. And you can take even a little bass boat. I've had little boats. I ain't never had no big boats. But you can turn that steering wheel just like a car, and pull that boat goes that way. No matter what way the current's pulling, you don't want to just go with the flow. You want to keep yourself going in the right direction that you want to go in. And therefore, you'll turn it to go the way you want to go. You don't let this body lead you. That's the reason why it said to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, you got to keep yourself intact, in check. You can't lose contact with what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Let's read 5 and 6 there. Tommy, you want to read? Really, you could substitute that word for the devil. The tongue is the biggest part of our body. It is a little member. That's what it's talking about. Your members as far as the parts of your body. It says to be, it boasts great things if you ain't careful. The Bible said, let all your boasting be in God, let all your boasting be in the Lord. Amen. A lot of people have got it in their head. They can't hardly have a conversation without talking about what I'm doing. I'm making, or what I'm doing, and this, and me, and this, and that, and the other. The tongue is a fire. Huh? And I think you can substitute that for a hellfire. Satan's words, Satan's ruling. You can say it like that. A world of iniquity. That world just means a system. This world we live in's got a system. You got the stars, the sky, the cloud, the moon, the water. You can't do without these things. If one of them things was to break down, the whole world, the whole system would be out of whack. Something would be in great turmoil. If that sun refused to shine, when it starts refusing to shine, I put it like that, you better be sure you're on the Lord's side then, because this world is in trouble. This world is going to be in trouble. Darkness will abide full time. That means Satan to have his full reign in. So those that got that post-trip idea, they better change their ways of thinking. It defileth the whole body. Now, I know the Bible says the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Look at that James 1 and 19, Anita. You got your Bible open, don't you? I want to show y'all something. One reason James, he gives us different applications for the tongue. You got that 1 and 19, read that. James 1 and 19. Wherefore, my brother, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church people. In chapter 1 and 19, thou, my dearly beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Then you tell me, he always has some good sense. He said, boy, you need to listen more and talk less. You can learn more like that. Then he won't go out and teach him, see. He didn't want you to tell him nothing. When I was about 12 years old, I asked him, I said, Dad, what we're doing down here in the woods, cutting this wood? And I said, the bugs is eating up, mosquitoes is eating up, and I'm sweating like crazy. We don't need no firewood. He said, boy, this wood's got to have time to dry. You're going to keep working. I'd say something about the garden, you know, getting on up, getting grown. Thought I could say something. Yeah. Let's try it this way or that way, and let's see if it works better. He said, boy, I'm doing all the thinking out here. You do it like I told you to do it. See, the Lord put it on these people's heart, James, John, Paul, to write these scriptures like he wanted them written to start with. He didn't mean for them to be changed 30 more times for English-speaking people. One time was the only thing that needed to be changed for the English-speaking people. And he tells us wheresoever the governor listed in verse 4, that means wherever the Lord wanted us to pay attention to what he wanted us to do. See, when the governor turned that rudder or that helm, that boat goes where he wants to do. Well, he put it in position and in the direction he wanted it to go to start with. What do I need another version for? I always like to throw that end on. But he'd give us what we needed to pay attention to, the listening. He'd give us what we needed to take heed to. This is a world of iniquity. People took the tongues that defile the whole body and rewrote the Word of God to say what they wanted it to say. They put it down in writing and think, I'm supposed to accept it. Sister B, if they quit writing King James Bible, if they quit printing, not writing, quit printing, that ain't going to change God's Word, not one bit. It won't change. We'll try to hold on to my version. And if they tell me they're going to quit printing King James Version, because you can go to the bookstore now, NIV, SIV, some other version, simple version, New King James. You can't hardly find a King James anymore. Well, I don't want that mess. I don't want nothing that defileth the whole body and setteth afire the course of nature. This is natural. This is what God meant for us to have to start with, the natural Word of God. We didn't read that 7 and 8, did we? Need to read that 7 and 8 for us. every kind of beast, every kind of serpent, every kind of animal can be tamed, even the things of the sea. And everything has been tamed for mankind. But the tongue, no man can tame. Well, I tell you, that's the Lord's work right there, ain't it? You got to let the Lord have control over your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, and your strength. A lot of people think that they can run on through the church world and live like they want to, do like they want to, and say what they want to. You can't live off of one scripture or two scriptures. You can't live off of half a dozen verses and forget the rest of the Bible. That's the reason why he said to take the whole Bible and eat it up. Huh? You're supposed to eat it up just like you do candy. Take it all in. Let's turn over that next page. 9 and 10. Sister B, read that 9 and 10 for us. Yeah, read that 9 and 10 for us.
Therewith blessed is God, even the Father, and therewith cursed with men, which are made after the tendency of God. As the Master says, blessed and cursed, my brethren, these things are not so to be.
Now, we take sometimes that like it's some kind of game, I know, but it ain't no game with God. Curses men. And you ain't got to say curse words to curse men. They take that ragged old drunk over there. He might as well be in hell right now. Wow, that's a big statement. You take that dope kid living down the street over there. He just as well be in the fire right now. Boy, that's a strong statement. Sister B, I'd rather offer him a way to church than to try to throw him in hell right off the bat. I look at some of these people that's died and gone on, and they several of them committed suicide that I've talked to and witnessed to. Committed suicide before they would come to the house of God. But I give them that chance. I didn't encourage them to go to hell. I told one boy, I said, you've been in prison. You've been in and out of these hospitals. I said, you've been in the drugs and father and all that. I said, won't you try Jesus? Never did call me. And he killed himself. People I know looks like they'd rather kill herself and commit suicide than to serve the Lord some of them. But that don't mean you encourage them. You don't tell them, well, won't you go ahead and curse God and die? What did Job tell his wife? He said, you sound like a foolish woman. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, you hold on to God and try to get everybody else to God too that you can. God's going to bless people according to their work in this life. There's going to be different rewards in heaven. A lot of people act like they don't know that. You might be one chopping the wood up there. Praise the Lord. My grandpa was living. We chopped his wood. Grandpa didn't chop no wood. Realize that your soul is not designed to quit. The spirit God blows in a man to live is not designed to die. God created man to be with him to start with, and it had not been for sin, Adam and Eve no doubt would have been alive today. That's what brought death in was sin. Because God told Adam and Eve before death come about, before sin come about, he told them to to be fruitful and multiply. If you look back, that was told to Adam and Eve before the serpent ever came in the garden. And God don't appreciate it neither. He said, cursed men which are made after the similitude of God. He said we'll make man in our image. That means there's a visible comparison to you and God's being, and God's body, and God's love. He got a heart and feelings just like you do. He got a soul and mind just like you do. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curses. He said, brother, these things will not be so. If you look back at James chapter 1 and verse 27, let me read to you what God intends for us to have. Pure religion. Chapter 1 and 27. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fathers and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. A lot of people say, unspotted religion, visit the fathers and the widows. That's part of that. They forget that unspotted part from the world. You can't go around and mix yourself in with the world and be pleasing to God. But the main part I wanted to focus on was their afflictions, you see. You can't curse that man over there because he's a drunk and a sot. Simply, I wish that man was still alive today. I heard the old gospel, full gospel in London. He stood up and boy, he just talked for just seemed like a few minutes. It wasn't long. But his testimony has some meaning to it now. He said, I was a drunk in Lumberton. I was the biggest whiner. I was living on the streets, and just sleeping on the streets, and just a sloppy drunk. And he said, the Lord saved me one day. And it felt like he hadn't been in church in 6 weeks or so. And when he said that, been 35 years ago, I mean, it's just like a light lit up in the whole church. You could just feel that testimony. It was so real. He said to visit. Go out of your way and try to be a blessing to somebody. What are we doing for the Lord? I know sometimes you just can't walk up to everybody now. And I know you just can't go around and invite people to come like you used to. Seem like that's a waste of time. But if you have a chance to talk to somebody, visit them in the Lord. Let your conversation be on the Lord. And I know I've been out visiting and trying to knock on doors. People wouldn't even come out of the house. People wouldn't even answer the door. I know probably y'all don't fit in that category. But you wasted your time pulling up the yard. There's two or three cars in the yard. You hear them in the house. Time to tiptoe across there, so you don't hear them. But they, if they in afflictions and don't want what you got, that's their fault. You see what I'm saying? Sister Ben, don't hurt your heart no worse than to know you try to help somebody witness to it, and then they die lost. That don't hurt. They shouldn't be nothing much in this world to hurt your heart no worse than that. Sister Lisa, did you read? Read that 11 and 12. Now, a lot of people would probably think, I ain't never heard of sweet water. You ain't never had a glass of good cold ice water where you was hot and sweaty and been out there digging in the flower garden. I would probably probably digging in a vegetable garden. But boy, that cold ice water, boy, it just be so sweet going down. You got sweet water. The Lord got sweet water. Amen. Especially that living water. And this natural water is pretty sweet too. I tell you what, you sure better not go down there at the ocean hot and sweaty down there on the beach and fishing or on the pier fishing. Run down there and get you a big drink of that salty water. You wish you never done it. Well, that salty water ain't good at all. Praise the Lord. Neither can a fig, my brother, bring olive. Neither can a vine. This stuff wasn't supposed to be mixed up together. It wasn't supposed to be mixed up together to start with. People think they can mix it all up now. It wasn't supposed to be mixed up to start with. They think you can get everything you want out of the well. But that well ain't got but one thing for you in the Bible, and that's Jesus. That's holiness. That's pure religion. That's undefiled. But people think that they can mix it all up now, Sister Lisa. You can take this, that, and the other, and put it with that, this, and the other, and mix it all together, and it's all right. That might be hard if you're making a pot of soup. Put your corn, and onion, tomato, and onion, potatoes, hamburger meat. Yeah, put you some cabbage in there. Put a little bit of hot sauce, tomato sauce. A little salt and pepper. Boy, you mix it all up. Boy, you have a good pot of soup out of a while. I like it that bit, too. What time? What time is it going to be ready? But, all this stuff together. The house of God wasn't designed for sinners. It's designed for sinners to come in and hear something about God, but not for them to run the church and run the pulpit and run the singing and all over the church, on the church. Somebody got on the church. But they sinners now own churches. Huh? There's a lot of sinners on churches. I know a bunch of them. I can name probably more sinners that owns churches than I can saints. Praise the Lord. It wasn't designed that way to start with. And when God comes back, He's going to set it up that way. And Revelations tell me those that treated you bad and looked down on you to start with over the years and over the ages, that they're going to be before you bowing, and they're going to know that God loved you the whole time. Praise the Lord. They're going to know that you was on God's side the whole time and God was on your side. Praise the Lord. I do. I love people. But love don't change people. Love don't give. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that people wouldn't perish. They'd have a way to come. They'd have a way of salvation. What He's saying is if love can save you, you can live forever. They would not perish. But everybody's not going to go by the Scriptures. Everybody's not going to follow the right spirit. I pray God they would. Especially my loved ones, the ones that's close to my heart. But that don't do it. You can't force it on them. You can't push it on them. The same place, sweet water and bitter. Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and bread? It can't happen that way. You love people, you want to encourage people,
You want them to come. You want them to get their heart right. You want to be a blessing to them. And if you want people to be a blessing to you, help one get converted. Boy, that's a blessing to your soul. That's a blessing to your heart, your mind, and your body. There's nothing no better. Look on that page 19 down at the bottom, Sister Amy, and read that section for us down there. The difference. Start right there.
The Christian's words are to be tools dedicated to the master's service for the purpose of building up rather than demolition tools for tearing down.
Wait a minute now. A Christian's word is supposed to be for building up instead of tearing down. What was I talking about a minute ago? God's word is designed to help people. He said that the 99 was right. The sheep now, his people are sheep. He still wants to find that one lost one out there, that 1%. The 99% is good, but there's still a 1% out there. That one represented the 100%. He wanted to go after that one. That's the idea for God's people, to be tools for the Lord, to be his ears, his eyes, his hands, his feet. Go ahead.
With this in mind, let us be sure we are well stocked with the necessary instruments for the job, namely encouragement, tact, honesty, kindness, and a good supply of apologies.
I tell you, folks, that's some of the best reading right there to teach in such a little paragraph. Them words have a lot of weight to them, a lot of meaning to them. Make sure we are well stocked with the necessary instruments, the necessary tools. You've got to have the right mind for the job. You've got to have the right tools for the job, the right spirit, the right word, the right facts, honesty. You've got to have the right heart. The Bible says be kind-hearted. That's one of your main attributes, is living a simple life, peaceable with all men, with as much that lies within you. And if you got the Lord in there, that's much. That's a lot. He means for us to have a good supply of apologies. Huh? That means repent, don't apologize. Hey, sometimes you might say something, well, I didn't mean for it to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but I can't change the word if it's true and honest. It's just the way I was holding for this lot where folks down in Rose together. Locklear, But anyway, that fellow told me when he hired Donald, he said, my wife, she writes a check. She's over the paperwork. She keeps up with all the tickets and invoices and everything. So you turn all your tickets and give her your invoice and all at the end of the week. And we pay you every week. It don't matter if we have $10,000 or something like that, he said, which I never make that much in a week. You need more than one dump truck to make $10,000 in a week. But she'll pay you every week, you know. And I stayed down there 3 months altogether, and I think 12 weeks. I think I got 7 bad checks out in 12 weeks. And I got looking for work to get away from down there.
You paid me every week, didn't
you? Yeah, she'd pay you every week. But when you got to the bank, that check wasn't no good. I said, lady, I got to where I was going to say, lady, did they think this account? She punched in the numbers. Sorry. He was paying his people on Thursday and pay us on Friday. But to start with, he was paying us on Thursday. And I called on for what he was doing. He was paying his guys, and they'd go on up to the bank. He'd say, y'all wait till Friday to go up there, you know. Y'all wait till Friday. His drivers would go up there and get their money, and then when we got up there, there wasn't none. So he'd give my check, and I'd run on up there on Thursday. got my money and went running on out the bank before they called me back. And then he said the next day, you went on up to the bank. Well, he was mad because his drivers couldn't get their money. But we weren't supposed to say nothing, you know. And he got to where he'd just pay us on Friday so it wouldn't go to the bank early. He was making sure his drivers got their pay and we was missing ours. So I fussed his wife out. I fussed her out about writing bad checks. I said, if you can't pay but once a month and make it a good check, pay me once a month. I said, don't give me a bad check every week. Got to where you go in the bank, the woman would look at you and go to laugh. Y'all come here with another one of them checks. She said, oh, I shouldn't say that, but I could get fired. I said, we ain't going to report you for nothing like that. I said, we're friends here, you know, whatever. That'd be like me going to the drugstore and you say something, and I ain't like that. But, You, my wife said you fussed her after you hurt her feelings. I said, well, tell her I'm sorry for hurting her feelings. But I still meant what I said. If God's word hurts your feelings, it ain't designed to do nothing but trip you up and help you up. See, that's why I was telling her, if you can write a good check once a month, just pay me once a month. Don't give me a bad check every week. You see, don't give somebody bad things knowing it's bad. You can't work like that. You have to make sure that you got the proper tools to do the job. Instead of make sure that you got the right supply, that you got what's necessary, the necessary instruments. God, if I could give you a bad check, you probably feel the same way I did about her. Well, that's what I was telling them. I got all my money out of it, but I left them down there after about 12 weeks. I found something else to do. It was time to go. When I found something else to do, I left. But I tell you something, honestly. Yeah, I got more bad checks than I did good ones. But honesty and kindness and all that, they go together, you see, with serving the Lord. And I didn't fuss her out in a bad way. I fussed her out the right way. I mean, it wasn't like sweet and cursing at the same time. And I told her, I said, well, tell her, I'm sorry for hurting feelings. But I mean everything I said. That's the way the Lord is. He gives you what you need. If it hurts your feelings, you might complain about it. And you might even can apologize for it. But you're going to have to apologize for it just like I did. I'm sorry the word hurt your feelings. I was just teaching the word of God. I'm sorry it hurt your feelings. But I still meant what I said. That don't change what God said. They think because the word of God offends them, they're not supposed to add it to the word of God. They go and write it, rewrite it, and change it. See, that's the way the world does. But I'm not involved in the world. I'm not out there in the world. Praise the Lord. I try to stay away from some of this stuff out there, especially the church world. There ain't nothing more contaminating than a worldly church. It leads people astray and go the wrong way. That's the most contaminating thing you can get involved with. I had a fella here a while back. Why didn't you go visit that fella? He was in the hospital and everything. And why didn't you go visit him? I said, well, I probably would have, but I had already talked to that fella and went and visited with that fella. And he said they were going to another church because they didn't believe like we believed, and they weren't as strict as we was and everything else. I said, he's got a church to help him out. He's got a church to go to. I said, he wouldn't come see us because we do strict. We believe like the Bible believes. We don't want him. Say it in a good way. Apologize. I'm sorry, but they don't want what I got. They don't want Jesus. That man down there at the store. He said, I don't want nobody to vote for Trump, and I don't want nothing to do with their religion if they voted for Trump. I said, man, you just denounced Jesus Christ. They've denounced Jesus on the kind of Republican Party, putting their trust in man. Sure, you put a certain amount of trust in people, politics, law, or whatever, but you can't let that be your God. People goes foolish when it comes to certain things. I'm a good foolish. If I'm a good foolish, I don't do like Paul. Paul said he was foolish for Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Any questions or comments? Well, I tell you, this teaching will get you riled up, though. They do me studying the scriptures. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we appreciate y'all this morning. Hope you got something out of Sunday school lesson. Let's see who's got a birthday this week. Anybody? Somebody had a birthday this week. Who was it? Carrie's husband, Jonathan, had a birthday. When was it? Yesterday or
today?
Today.
Anna's birthday.
That Sammy's mama's Anna? Well, let's say happy birthday for Anna. How old was she then?
I think it's in her 70s.
Her and Jonathan?
Both short. Yeah, about 70.
Probably in the cup of both of them, but that's all we got. Sure. Come in and help me out.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. David, come on, sing one of your songs for us. Y'all don't forget about April 12th, the week of the revival down at Whiteville. Just think we might go down there and see Brother Michael Brown at his church. Curtis T. will be preaching down there that week. Curtis T. from April the 8th to April the 12th. So, good Lord willing, we may just ride down there that Friday night to be in service with them. If you can mark that on your calendar or be sure to remember it. Might not want to go out of town or whatever. If you want to make it down here with us that week. So be praying about that. And also about Sister Nettie down there at the Church of Maxton. Jerry Strong's ex-wife, the widow. Nettie Strong, she wanted us to come down here one Thursday night and be in service with them down there. So be praying about that too. All right, go ahead.
It's appointed unto man once to live and once to die, an appointment with God's face, one that we cannot deny. Why do you laugh and say you'll never reach that day? If you choose to go with Him, you can try to go with more.
Thank you.
appreciate you, Lord, this morning. I tell you what, we've had a trying week. It's been one thing after another, seemed like. Just on and on. And, you know, we typically peaceful people. You know, we don't typically, you know, have a lot of issues and stuff. We work things out. But sometimes the devil gets in things and he makes things seem harder than they are. And we just get ourselves in situations. And sometimes, you know, like Dave was talking about this morning, sometimes it's not so much apologizing. Sometimes you got to apologize. But sometimes you have to apologize within your own house and get things worked out.
Right.
The Bible says not to let the sun go down on your hat. You know, things can be worked out if we just have the heart to work them out, you know. It ain't always about being right. It ain't always about being wrong. And it ain't always about what you think, you know. Sometimes it just takes an apology. But I appreciate the Lord this morning. He's helped us get this far. And Mama said, yesterday she said, it sure must be going to be a good service tomorrow. Because we really fought the devil all week. And we have. And even though it's not always shouting and jumping up and down, when your soul gets fed, that's what you come for. That's the main thing, when your soul gets fed. So I feel like we've heard some good stuff already. We've had some good songs sung this morning. And I feel like we're getting where we need to be. If you have your Bibles, don't forget about Esther. But right now, we in Mark, and we're going to be in Luke. And I know we've been there in the last few messages. But don't forget about Esther. We might come back to Esther. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of going where the Lord leads. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And y'all help me out this morning. Pray for me. And also pray for my throat. For some reason, probably the pollen. I've started getting a little bit hoarse. So y'all pray for my voice to hold out. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. When you find it, if you would, say amen. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, if you will, turn with me to Luke, chapter 8, the next book over, Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. That's Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue was stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And read 46 again. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Y'all help me out this morning. Sister Lisa. If you think about something that you love, something you really, really love, there'll be one person or one thing that pops into your mind. When I asked you, what do you love? Who do you love? There is always seem like one person or one entity that'll pop in your mind. Maybe family, maybe your spouse, maybe a child. In fact, for us single people, something to eat. Mine's always something to eat. When you ask me who do I love, I was thinking about chocolate. something you love. But Sister Lisa, it's more than just a food, or it's about when that one person that you think of, that one family, your family that you think of, that you love more than anything. If you haven't seen them in a while, Sister B, and you'd be starved for their touch. You'd be starved just to see them, to see what they look like, how they're doing, if they're all right. Sister Lisa, after a long time, if you've seen them, you'd do anything to get to them.
Right.
Y'all help me out this one. Sister B, sometimes we go through so much because we're so used. We want the Lord to come in and fix everything and do it just like we want to. And we don't appreciate those little touches, that little times when He comes by. I'm fixing it. Lisa, help me out. She said there was a crowd around Him. A crowd, Sister Lisa. And back then in the Bible times, if you were sick or afflicted, you were an outcast. It didn't matter if you were a leper. It didn't matter if you had something wrong with your blood. It didn't matter if you had a cold. If you had any kind of affliction, you were unclean. So she had to get down on her hands and knees. Sister Lisa, if anybody would have saw her, they would have told her, you need to get out of the city so nobody catches what you have. She done been through all the doctors. All her money was gone. And they had done treatments on her. It says she was sore tired of what they had done to her, Sister B. But she pressed anyway. There was probably people stepping on her hands, probably people kicking her for her to move out of the way. And she said, what would I do for just a touch? And when she got to Jesus, Jesus said, I felt a touch. And Matthew said, but people's been thronging you. People's been pushing and shoving, trying to get to you. What do you mean somebody touched you? He said, this was a different kind of touch. Sister Lisa, when you're in that long, hot, dry desert, and you're weary, and you're sore, and you're tired, what would you do for just a touch? Just a little bit, Sister B. Anything you could get would be just enough. That rich man, he said, Lord, if you just send Lazarus to put a drop of water on my family's finger, just to touch it to my tongue, I'd be so grateful. He said, if I could just feel what I felt again, I would be so grateful. Help me out there. He said, I could spend eternity in hell if I could just taste that water again. Sister Lisa, just one drop. If I could have one drop again, I might could bear what I've got to go through. Sister Lisa, I'm going to tell you what. Patience is a virtue. What He gave her that day was a little bit of patience. He said, if you can keep, she said, if I could just get that touch, just a little bit. She said, I might not be made whole, but I'll tell you what I will get. My inside will be whole. Sister Lisa, He might not heal that outside. You might not get it like you want it, but if He can fix that spirit just enough, where you can take a drop of water and go many more miles, then He's done what He needed to do. That rich man said, if I could have a drop, I can weather the storm. Yeah. That rich man's in hell, and he ain't coming out.
That's right.
And one drop in hell won't do you much. But stay with me for just a minute, okay? Yeah. Sister B, if you was in a long, hot, dry desert, and your body is 60 to 75% of water, depending on your weight, and if you could say, if you dried up in the desert, the first thing that's going to go is all that interstitial fluid and all that water is going to start drying up. You're going to, after a while, you're going to be like a burnt piece of meat. And if you could just get, if you knew that the promised land was 30 miles away, and you stopped the stranger and said, if you could just give me a drop, Sister Lisa, you could make it that 30 miles. What we need is determination. What we need is a mindset to go on anyway. She crawled through. She said, what I wouldn't do for just a touch, where I wouldn't go for just a touch, what I wouldn't climb over for just a touch, what I wouldn't fight through for just a touch.
touch where I wouldn't go for just a touch. They can ridicule me. They can mold me. They can put me down. But I'm in a long hot desert, and I need just a touch.
Sister Lisa, he's got to be your most valued thing. He's got to be what you want above all else. So that way when family comes against you, I haven't got time. I'm searching for a touch. That way when the boss man comes against you, I haven't got time. I'm searching for a touch. What happens when your spouse comes against you? I haven't got time. I'm searching for a touch. It means you're all in all. You will never be anything that you wouldn't do for a touch.
Sister Lisa, that's why we be out in that desert so long. That's why we in our sickness so long. We expect God. He's been dealing with me this week about not thanking him enough. He said, you pray for the messages, and I'll just be frank with you. He said, you pray for the messages, I ain't under no obligation to give them to you.
Yeah.
And then you not thank me for them.
Yeah.
So you don't thank me for it. We get used to thanking God, supposed to do stuff for us.
Wow.
Well, you called me to preach. How am I going to preach without giving me messages? He said, many of preachers have failed because they get in the aspect, I'm the preacher. I'm the one that comes up with God supposed to give me a message. I shouldn't have to pray and ask for anything. I ain't that bad because I know I got to pray because I know Sister Amy can't do it. But after the message is over and the Lord's going to help me weather the storm, I get used to having a cup full. He said my cup is full and running over and it's on my saucer. Sister B, we get used to having a glass full and we can't stand it when we get in the desert and all of it dry. Up and the Lord sends us just a drop. We got to get used to maybe having to live for another 30 miles, to climb another mountain, to go through another valley, to build a ship to get across the sea on just a drop.
Right.
How long will a drop last you? I had to make it last for a long time. Sister Lisa, this is the end time.
Yeah.
We in the dark world.
Yes, we are.
Way back when, there wasn't no shame in shouting in Walmart.
Right.
You do it now, there's going to be a Muslim in the bread aisle that's going to get offended, and you're probably going to get arrested.
Right.
Right.
You ain't going to be able, you can't get your victory in Walmart like you used to could.
No, right.
You can't get your victory in public like you used to could.
Right.
Way back when, Christians was respected. You saw somebody shouting. I don't care if they didn't know nothing about the Lord. They was reverent.
They were.
They were reverent.
Right.
They seen the Holy Ghost speak. They seen somebody shouting in the bread aisle. You see people on their knees beside of them. Didn't know what else to do but to bow down. Didn't know what else to do, Sister Lisa. Under conviction, didn't know what it was, and they were respectful. Now, you do any of that stuff in public, you are in danger.
Yeah. Right.
And I ain't saying you shouldn't. Because, Sister B, if we go down praying, we've went down the right way.
Yeah, that's right.
Sister Lisa, if we go down shouting, if they shoot us in Walmart and you are in the spirit, you went down the right way.
Yeah, right.
But I will tell you now, and we're fighting a battle.
Yeah.
The world is getting dry. The Lord has been able to use less and less people because more and more people are giving in that right is wrong and wrong is right.
Right.
There are few and far between. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I talked to him, people are afraid of the spirit because it's going to tell them to do something that they don't want to do or tell them to not do something that they want to do. So they push off the spirit. There's few people that's listening to the spirit. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I don't need to do. Tell me anything. There are few and far between.
Right.
Look at us.
Yeah. That's right.
Look. So the world is drying up.
Right.
We're going to have to learn to live on the drop.
That's
right. Sister Lisa, he said, I won't remove the thorn.
It's not going to get any better. I mean, people say, let's pray for it to get better. It's not going to get any better. It's a sign of the times. It's going to get worse. There is no getting better. There is only getting worse. And that ain't to make you doubt. You got God. There is nothing to fear. You have no fear. You've got God. But I will tell you this. For the world getting like it is, he said, I won't remove the thorn, but my grace is sufficient. So it's to be, if it isn't but a drop, it's sufficient. She said, what wouldn't I do for just a little bit? Sister Lisa, what wouldn't I do for just a little bit? And he said, when she touched him, he said, I felt virtue. He said, somebody has touched me. Sister Lisa, if you make that effort to touch him, he's going to give you enough virtue to sustain you. If it isn't but a drop, if you got to climb that mountain on the drop, you're going to be able to do it. So we're going to be able to be sustained, Sister Dina. Now, I appreciate the Lord this morning. And I feel like a lot's been said. I feel like we need to get around the altar and pray. If you feel like message hit you directly, we need to pray for those it did, because it hit somebody. It needs to. Every message is going to hit somebody. That's because the Lord gives it to him. I always ask the Lord, say, give me the message for the one that needs it the most. Sister B, we got to keep living and we got to keep pressing. And that's what the messages and the services are for. So let's use this time to get around the altar and pray just like you feel.
Lord, we bless this gift. Pressure.